O thou sacred book of books, into which the humble looks, here within thy precious pages, wisdom, light, the rock of ages, here's king's highway and heaven's portal, crimson cross and life immortal, here my eternal soul is fed, here storms are made to cease, here Christ arose up from the dead, King of kings and Prince of peace. I'm glad that we have a Bible that tells us where we came from and where we're going, and more importantly, why we're here. Look around and I look at the world through the prism, through the lens of God's word, and that's the only way it makes sense. Well, I remember before I came to faith, my crisis experience in the military caused me to ask, what in the world is going on? And until your life comes to a certain crossroads of crisis, few people ask or wonder what is going on. I cannot help but look at the news and realize that time is running out. I remember when I was working in commercial photography, every box of film had an expiration date on it. And it was important when you're in professional commercial photography that you pay attention to that, because it can make an important difference. You can't see it. It's invisible. But every one of us has an expiration date on us. Time is running out. And we're looking forward to the day when Jesus comes and he fixes this broken world. And the Bible says he'll make a new heaven and a new earth. And so I don't fear death at all. It's merely a portal into paradise and to be with God forever. But we're here for a purpose, make no doubt about it. And many of us go through life and never quite find that purpose. And so I want to talk a little bit about that again this morning. The last time we were here, we realized that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. And we talked about a false faith and a saving faith. And for years, I didn't know the difference. Until one day, the Spirit of God opened my eyes and showed me that the world's problem, the problem that the world had, was the same problem that I had. The problem of the world today is not a skin problem, it's a sin problem. It's not a race problem, it's a grace problem. Not a job problem, it's a God problem. And until we see that, everything doesn't make sense, and we have chaos. But once God made that clear to you, you're here today. All of a sudden, it all made sense. God led you to a place called Calvary, where the answer for all the world's problems was hanging on a cross. And when I, by faith, knelt down before him and surrendered, God came into my life and into my heart. And when God comes in, he brings his stuff. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And believe it or not, when you have God living inside, you have nothing to worry about. And you are invincible because you are an instrument and a tool in the hands of Almighty God, His personal property. And yet people surround us and we live in a world that is lost and needs to know how much God loves them. But God's love alone will save no one. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. See, Christ dying on the cross cannot save you unless you receive what He has done for you. And maybe there's somebody here this morning that's never done that, or maybe you have relatives that have not done that, and you're concerned for them. I want to look at the book of Genesis and then look at the book of Hebrews this morning. And there's one text that I find kind of haunting, and I want to zero in on that. Maybe somebody will take that and chew on that when they go home and maybe have difficulty sleeping and hear instead the voice of God speak to them. Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose. Your life is what you choose. Your life is a series of choices. Every day you make a choice, and that determines the path you take. And one day I chose Jesus, and that changed everything. And if you've never chosen Jesus, that's what you need to do, because God will give you what you choose. God's not going to send the world into eternal darkness. He's just going to give people what they chose. They didn't want to be with God, follow God, and God finally comes to a place where we cross in an event horizon and enter into a black hole from which there is no escape. And it's what we chose. And I ask you this morning to choose Jesus and to follow Him. Here in Genesis 6, we see a choice is made, and apparently this pleases God so much that something terrible is about to happen. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And then the story of the flood that all of you know and have heard many, many times. Some people look at this and say, well, it says here that people are supposed to live for 120 years. Others open up another text in the Bible and says 70. The Bible says right there, 70. And if by reason of strength, maybe you'll live to be 80. And some of us are getting close to that, and some of us have passed that, and we're here today. We're not, God didn't make us to live 120 years. He didn't make us to live 70 plus 10. He made us to live forever. And that is serious. You need to get ready for forever, because you will live somewhere forever. And some will live in solitary confinement with themselves because they lived for themselves and refuse to follow God and choose Him. And God will give them what they choose. A couple of weeks ago in Munich, the world gathered for what they called the Munich Security Conference. And that conference ended with tears. The chairman was unable to complete his closing remarks before breaking down and weeping at the podium after urging the Europeans to ignore President Trump and J.D. Vance. By the way, we don't endorse anyone here. We follow Jesus. I'm just looking at the world. To ignore President Trump and J.D. Vance, who told them the truth. He urged Europe, this chairman of the Munich Security Conference, he urged Europe to double down on all the dumb ideas which have already eaten away at the very foundation of Western civilization, to destroy the nuclear family, marriage, to promote gender dysphoria and the LGBT plus, and reject the Bible. Europe has gone beyond woke and embraced the very serpentine ideas that destroyed the Garden of Eden, ignoring the laws and order of God, to say nothing about the laws of nature. They are oblivious to the armies and ideology of Islam, which have already breached the walls and gates. Having rejected God, the God of the Bible, and crucifying his only begotten Son, the world can now be described with three words: instability, incivility, and imbecility. A double-minded man, the Bible says in James, is unstable in all of his ways. Every country, society, or individual which has rejected Jesus Christ as Lord is unstable, to say the least. Second, the evidence of a godless society and a godless life is incivility. One needs only to listen to the vulgar, hostile, hate-filled words and hysterical rhetoric of left-wing lunatics calling for revolution and violence against all that is right, and their failure to see the madness of sin. Thirdly, yes, I said lunatics, because, listen to me, the prognosis of sin and the sinner always moves from instability to incivility and finally to imbecility. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary, before political correctness, changed the meaning of words. Imbecility was defined as the mental acuity that was somewhere between a moron and an idiot. I didn't make that up. Look at it in a dictionary. And if that doesn't describe the sinner, I don't know what does. Because sin is insanity. It's against all that is good, all that is right, all that God has done for you, all that God wants for you. It's crazy. God made you on purpose. He made me on purpose. He made us for good. He gave us life and all that's abundant. And there was a time when I was an idiot. And God still loved me. And one day he gave me enough clarity of mind to Say, oh, what a fool I've been. Like the prodigal son, finally I came to myself, and no one ever came to God until they came to themselves and said, what an idiot. How stupid. How could you do that? I visited Sing Sing prison some years ago to speak to somebody who had acted like an idiot. And people there, if you speak to them and ask them, how did you end up here in Sing Sing? What did you do? What happened? What were you thinking? And most of them said, I wasn't thinking. Most of them said, well, I wasn't thinking. Oh, we want to be thinking. Someone. And of course, if you didn't turn off your iPhones, someone's listening. If anybody hears what I have to say, I'm just visiting. Don't come and raid this place. I'll be gone. Someone should tell the Munich Security Conference that there is no security without Jesus. I don't care how often they meet. I don't care how many missiles they get, or Sherman tanks, Abrams tanks. There's no security without Jesus. And if you have ADT at your house, God bless you. I do as well. We live in a world where thieves are breaking in and stealing. But our security is not in some electrical system. Our security is in God Almighty, who watches over us all. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Anyone looking at the world today and not seeing the instability, the incivility, and the imbecility is himself a fool. I have peace because I have Jesus, and the world thinks I'm crazy. They do. To this world which has rejected Jesus, I simply ask, how's that working out for you? The world's in a mess. And if you don't see that the world is on fire, think again. We are on the brink. I'm not afraid. I'm concerned for those that I love that are still where I was, unstable, uncivil, and crazy. My spirit will not always strive with man. God is trying to reason with man. God is calling out to man as he did in the Garden of Eden. Adam, where are you? And Adam was in a mess. He was in a bind. He was in a quagmire and in a quicksand of sin. Like a turtle on its back, or a turtle without its shell, an eagle without its wings, as naked and as a plucked chicken. Adam was shocked and ashamed. And Adam was hiding in the bushes when he heard the voice of God. Where were you the first time you heard the voice of God? I remember. And God, in his grace and in his love, didn't give up on me. Sin brings shame and sorrow. Worse, now mankind was on his own because of sin, separated from God. The relationship was broken. And what we have in Christ is not a religion, but a relationship restored. Sin breaks the relationship. Sin, like the sirens of Ulysses, had lured Eve and her husband to dash their ships upon the jagged rocks of spiritual ruin. The sons and daughters of Adam and Eve have continued down the path of destruction. I don't have to convince you that things are not getting better in this world, but worse. And the warning of Genesis chapter 6 is a warning to every son of Cain, every sinner living in disdain and in defiance to God. My spirit will not always strive with man. And perhaps the Spirit of God has been striving with someone right here this morning, listening to these words. Warning, warning, warning. Like the glaring light on the dashboard of your automobile, trying to warn the driver that something is seriously wrong, and that if they don't stop and attend to an urgent need, the entire thing will be ruined. Or like the man who took the battery out of the smoke alarm, only to wake up too late in a house on fire. God always warns us. If we listen, there is thunder in the distance and time to take cover before the lightning strikes. The Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. A storm is coming, but for many, it will be too late. Too late to board up the windows, and sandbags will not be sufficient. Now, I don't pretend to know who or what the giants were in the Book of Genesis, chapter 6, or the sons of God or the daughters of men, who they are. Some things are seen through a glass darkly. What we need to know is clear, however. God saw the wickedness of man and that it was great. The news articles overflow with enough evidence of wickedness. The wickedness of man who imagines and invents diabolical weapons of mass destruction every day. Not just in biolabs in Wuhan, China, but in the heart of every man and every woman who knows not God. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God is merciful, but God, even God, has his limits. The day came when the first king of Israel crossed the line beyond which God turned his back on King Saul. God was grieved in his heart. God would scrub the earth and start all over in Genesis. Because the wages of sin is death. But the wonderful thing in chapter 6 of Genesis is found in verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I'm not a theological genius. I don't pretend to be. I believe that God made us for a purpose on purpose, and God sends out his message of hope and love in the gospel. And I believe there's only one way to be saved. I don't divide the salvation up into different ways to be saved. In the Old Testament, they were saved the same way in the New Testament. Don't you believe that? You think they were saved by lighting candles? You believe they were saved by putting out showbread? You think they were saved by sacrificing lambs? No! There's only one way to be saved. And there are people today that fill churches that think there are several ways to be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We're saved the same way in the New Testament times as they were saved in the Old Testament times. And Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And when you walk down Hallelujah Boulevard in heaven one day and you say, wait a minute, I think I recognize that guy over there. I think that's Noah. I don't know what he looks like, but you might just kind of think that must be Noah. How did you get here? He'll tell you, I got here the same way you did. I got here by grace, God's amazing grace. And if you're going to get to heaven, that's the only way you're going to get there. Noah, although a sinner, he was saved by God's grace. That's how every sinner is saved. Grace is God's unmerited favor. And so this chapel this morning is God's grace place. You're in a grace place if you're in Jesus. For by grace are you saved. Once upon a time, there was a man named Noah who said yes to God. And that is what faith is. Faith is saying yes to God. By the way, the only advice I could give to a young person, as having experienced myself going through youth, being a young person and not becoming saved until I was 21 years old, the only advice I could give to a young person to not be an idiot like me, the advice I have is never say no to God. That's it. Now, life is a whole lot more than that because God has something for us to do. But if I had one piece of advice to give grandchildren and great-grandchildren, that would be it. Never say no to God. Say no to evil and say yes to God. Psalm 34 says, depart from evil and do good. As we saw last time, we're not saved by our good works. We're saved for good works. Never say no to God. Say yes. God asked Noah to trust. Turn with me before we go back to Genesis 6 to Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And what we could use in the churches of America today, if we want to make America great again, I don't know if that'll ever happen, but what we need in our churches today, if we are to make America great again, is found in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We could use a little more substance, and we could use a little more evidence if the world is going to think about Jesus. When I first became a believer, I looked at those who were telling me about Christ. Young people lived the life outside of the church the same way they lived inside of the church, that lived the same in front of their parents as they lived away from their parents. And I said, wow, this must be real, because I saw the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11 gives an example of what that means, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, in chapter 11 and verse 7. Now by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith, and I would add, by faith in Christ. For by faith, Noah, being warned, faith hears the inaudible, of things not seen as yet, faith sees the invisible, moved with fear, believes the incredible, prepared an ark, does the impossible, which he condemned the world, accepts the inevitable, and became an heir receives the imperishable, faith. Oh, that you would have it today to hear the inaudible, see the invisible, believe the incredible, and you'll do the impossible. Faith. Not in yourself, but faith in God's word. Peter in the boat saw Jesus walking on the water, and he says, Lord, is that you? If that's you, bid me to come to you. You remember the story. And Jesus spoke one word, come. Wow, come. Peter didn't walk on water because he wanted to walk on water. He walked on water because Jesus said, come. And then he stepped out of the boat. If he doesn't say, come, stay in the boat. But if he says, come, you come. If he says, do, do. We can always do what God asks us to do. And God asked Noah to build an ark through which to save the world. Whoa. He's not going to ask us to do that again, because the second time the world will be destroyed by fire. And all of those that absconded with the rainbow and the rainbow flag and put it outside of churches don't understand that the Spirit of God will not always strive with man and their foolishness and their imbecility. You're trying to hide behind their own good works and hide behind a rainbow flag. The rainbow flag was given by God as a reminder and a warning that God is serious and that sin is as serious as a heart attack. The story of Noah takes place in a faithless world. Faith, without faith, it is impossible, the Bible says, to please God. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing what God said and believing it. God asked Noah to build an ark, which would be a lifeboat for the world that was dying. It was becoming a quagmire and a morally contaminated cesspool of sin and corruption. What the Bible calls sin is actually an abuse and a misuse of any good thing. God created good. Evil is not only the opposite of good, it is cynical, counterfeit, and a distortion of a beautifully created thing. It is being out of step and out of sorts and out of place and out of order. Fire is good in the fireplace, but on the curtains, it's no longer good. Just as pyrite is fool's gold, fools mistake lust for love, and have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. The Bible says that God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great, and that every imagination of the thoughts of man and his heart was evil continually. Once society descends to that low level, it seems that the laws of moral universe causes civilization and life itself to crash like a corrupted computer hard drive. However, in this case, God himself decided to start all over, saving only a remnant of those who believe they needed to be saved and want to be saved from corruption and wickedness of a world gone mad. As I said, sin is crazy. Well, if the story of Noah is a story of God deciding to start all over, so is salvation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. A little boy was trying to write his little essay during the class exercise, and as he wrote in his little first grade class, he made a spelling error, and knowing that that would be marked as a wrong and be marked by the teacher with a red pen, he turned his pencil over and he tried to erase his mistake. And as he was erasing, it just smudged and made a great big smudge on the word. Instead of erasing it, it made it worse. And so he decided, I'm going to rub harder. And he rubbed harder, and it made a bigger smudge. And becoming a little anxious that he was making mistake on top of mistake, he decided to rub harder again. And he kept on rubbing until he made a hole in his little paper. And the teacher came by, and he held up the paper, and he could see the teacher through the hole in the paper. And so she took it and gave him another sheet of paper and said, "That's okay. Start again. You have time to finish." And he started with a clean sheet of paper. I've seen so many people, and so have you. They did something wrong, and they try to correct it, but it only got worse. And then they tried harder, and it got even worse than that. And then they tried very, very hard, and they made a hole in the paper of their life. Might be their marriage, might be their business. They might have ended up going to jail. Some of them we met there who have tried so hard, but were not able to correct their papers in time. Jesus wants to give us a new chance, a new paper, a new life, a new heart. He wants us to be born again. It's a new start. It's a new heart. It's a new goal. It's a new role. It's a new direction. It's a new connection. And it's a new course. It's a new force. It's a new source. Being born again is a new start. You can walk out of here surrendering to God, putting your faith and trust in Him and in Him alone, and God will begin to work in you what Noah found called grace. A lot of people think grace is being able to drive 5 miles over the speed limit. Officer, I was only going 5 miles over the speed limit. And in some places, the officer will say, "There's a warning, be careful." Some people think grace is that. Some people think grace is being able to pay your rent 2 weeks late. The landlord will say, "That's okay, you got 2 weeks." And after that, then, of course, you're in trouble. You have to pay a fine or we're going to get you evicted. And they think that's grace. No, that's not grace. Grace is God working in you or in me, both to will and to do His good pleasure. That's why you can't be saved without grace, because grace is God working in you and through you to will. You can't do it yourself. To will and to do His good pleasure. It's God at work. And you've all gone down the highway and saw a caution, men at work. You see a bunch of guys leaning on shovels. Right? Have you seen that? I always wonder why that is. Most people standing around just, no. When God works, God is doing stuff. And He wants to work in you and work in me. Who here does not want God to work in their life? You would have to be what we described as the world today. Instability, Does that describe your life? Is that what people see? Incivility? Flying off the handle? Protesting, even if you're a congressman or a congresswoman? Holding up signs? Cursing? Why do they do that? Because they don't know Jesus. Instability, incivility, and then, of course, imbecility. Come up crazy ideas. They don't know what a man is. They don't know what a woman is. They don't know what a boy is. They don't know what a girl is. They don't know what a right is. They don't know what a wrong is. And God said in Isaiah, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put light for darkness and darkness for light, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." That's stupidity. Put sugar in the salt shaker. It looks the same, but it's not the same. It's wrong. Grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he did what God asked him to do, and that's what the Christian life is. Saul of Tarsus, thinking he was doing right, was suddenly met with the brilliant light, the effulgence so bright that he was thrown from his high horse, and he asked the question, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the reply was, "I am Jesus." And it threw him for a loop because he thought Jesus was dead and buried. Jesus is very much alive. And when he realized that the resurrection was real, it was fact, it was true, it was not fake news, he asked the second question, which was, "What do you want me to do?" And so Christianity begins with the who. "Who art thou, Lord?" And it goes straight to the do. "What do you want me to do?" And God wanted Noah to build an ark. Whoa. I don't know what he wants you to do, but never say no to God. Do what he asks you to do. And then, of course, you know the story of how the rain came down and the door was shut and it was too late for many. And he rowed through the storm, the raging waters, for over a year. And then finally, the waters began to recede and the ark, which was the vessel, like a coffin. If you look at the description, covered in pitch black inside and outside, it looked like a coffin. It came to rest on the top of Mount Ararat. And Noah, the name Noah, means rest. Oh, 55 years ago, I came out of my own personal storm. I didn't get into an ark, but I came into Jesus and asked him to come into me. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." I didn't understand all of it. But I said, "Lord, although I don't understand it all, I believe you. And I ask you to come into my life and into my heart." And when he did, he brought his stuff. He brought his peace. And from this day forward, from that day forward, I have simply decided I'm going to follow him. Every time you open up this book, look for him. Every time you open this book, look for yourself. It's not speaking to the other guy or to the other girl. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you if you let him. But the Bible gives a warning. There's a line that should not be crossed. And when Herod refused to listen to the word of God that stood before him, when Herod the Great refused to listen to wise men, this Bible is filled with wise men. "He that walketh with wise men is wise." He refused. He sat on his throne when the wise men went to Bethlehem. They had one word, Bethlehem, and they believed it and they went there. Herod should have dropped everything he was doing and went with the wise men. I'm asking you this morning to go with the wise men and bow before Jesus like they did and watch what Jesus Christ can do with you in a life that's surrendered to him. Noah, yes, he built an ark, but we can do anything God asks us to do. And he did it because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God wants you to do something this week. Never say no to God. It's a word that's also found in the story of Noah. The word is come. Come. Come out. Come in. Come up. Come on. The invitation's call. Come unto me, says Christ today. Come now, come one, come all. Come rich, come poor, come black, come white. Come out of darkness, come into light. Come home, come forth, come back, be blessed. Come as you are. God will do the rest. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you're still reaching out to the lost. Thank you that you didn't give up on us. Thank you that one day our head cleared and we saw who we were in need of a Savior, and we saw the Lord Jesus dying on a cross for us. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us the grace to kneel before that cross and to see our life changed by your power. I pray that as the world becomes more and more chaotic and children are more and more confused, that we will see the Lord Jesus lifted up and the message of hope and deliverance proclaimed from places like this grace place, and that others will come and get in before it's too late, not in a church, but in Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Bless each one here today. If someone doesn't know you, help them to reach out to someone. Help them to think about what they've heard and help them to surrender and yield to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's sing the chorus as we go to follow Jesus, and let's ask God to use us to speak to somebody this week about God's great love. Let's stand together and sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. 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 No turning back, no turning back. Good day and God bless you all.